KX93.5, Laguna's Only FM. I'm Tyler Russell, interrupting the broadcast on a Monday afternoon. It's 5:30, and once a month we bring you an emergency preparedness segment, which we talk to a city official about how you can better prepare for various disasters and emergency events that happen here in Laguna Beach. We had one very recently on July 3rd, a major fire here in town, and that's why we have in studio Fire Chief Jeff Letendris with us. How are you, Chief?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for taking some time with us. I know you've been on before, so thanks for coming back. Let's start by talking about that fire on July 3rd, and we'll go into your program, your Ready, Set, Go program, and how people and residents can prepare for something like that. But, you know, does it come as a surprise this time of year when something like that happens? I mean, you're always prepared for something like that.
No, I think the weather that we've been experiencing the last couple of years, we're into our fourth year of a record drought, and a lot of people don't think of the other side of it, but we're also into our fourth year of record high temperatures. So that combined with a spark can set a very volatile situation that we experienced about 2 weeks ago now.
Right. And it was a downed power line that caused the initial spark.
Yeah, if we even back up a little bit further, it was a tree that fell into another tree that fell onto a power line that crashed into a couple of cars that interrupted the power. There was a power surge that went back through the lines, and at the intersection of Canyon Acres and Laguna Canyon Road, that arc came together at the telephone, at the power pole there, and that arc created the fire, started the fire.
This is probably even a whole nother conversation, but how does this lead us to then continue the discussion about undergrounding our power lines in Laguna Beach?
Well, obviously, if we look at what happened in Long Beach, there's still issues and concerns with underground utilities. But something of the magnitude that we experienced on July 3rd, I don't believe would have happened if those power lines would have been undergrounded, correct?
Okay. So at that point, your team does what? All the 911 calls start flooding in, and then what happens?
Yeah, it was confusing. The dispatchers didn't know what they had. They had reports of an arc, of a power line problem, of a tree falling down. There was one report of a traffic accident. There was a report of a brush fire. So they started just by sending one engine and a chief. You know, they received about 200 phone calls in the first couple minutes. So the two dispatchers on scene or on duty were just extremely busy. They quickly realized what they had going. They dispatched all four of the Laguna Beach fire engines, all 12 or all 13 of our on-duty firefighters, and they immediately called the Orange County Fire Authority. We have an agreement with them called a mutual threat agreement. And so when there's a fire in our town that threatens their jurisdiction or the park area there, they immediately send their full response also.
And what does their full response entail? How many engines?
So there was a total of 7 engines that were on the beginning dispatch along with the helicopter while the units were en route, and they saw the what we call a header or the smoke rising. They knew they had a working fire, and so Orange County immediately requested fixed-winged aircraft.
Right, and that's the pictures, the stunning photos we've seen online of a massive plane dropping that chemical onto. Do you want to talk about how that works?
Well, essentially, there were 5 planes that responded. 3 of them were water or retardant dropping planes, and the other ones are spotters or lead the planes in so they know exactly where to spot. And they drop a retardant. They typically don't drop right on the fire. They drop next to the fire, so when the fire burns into that area, it has a retardant on it, and it will stop the burn. And so what our firefighters did was they started up the right flank, and then they started up the left flank, and the aircraft put the retardant line at the top, and we basically just boxed in the fire.
Right. And there was a lot of conversation on social media. I don't know how accurate it is. People tend to talk, but that is a harmful chemical, and to keep your pets away from it, and it's dangerous for the plants. How much truth is in that?
Well, it's a biodegradable chemical. I mean, you do need to get it off of your vehicles as soon as possible. It will stay on the hillside until the rains kind of wash it away. But it's used, as you can see, what happened last week in San Bernardino. I mean, it's either that or we're going to burn, you know. Yeah. So we've got to do something to stop the spread of the fire.
Absolutely. And those planes, it just astonishes me how big of an aircraft, how low they go. And I guess that's why they have the spotters. That must be one of the toughest fire-related jobs there is.
Yeah, it's very dangerous. And again, if you're watching the news, if we had people with drones in our area, they have to call off the aircraft, including helicopters, if people are flying drones there. So as much as they want to get above and try to get pictures, let us do our job and you can work with your drones afterwards.
That's a very good point. I'd like to reiterate that. If there is an active fire anywhere you are, don't try to take photos from the sky. Don't fly your drones because there's aircraft that need to do something very important up there.
Correct.
Yeah. Again, Fire Chief Jeff Latendris is in studio from Laguna Beach Fire Department. We are doing our emergency preparedness segment. I will remind you, this is interactive. If you'd like to text in a question, if it had to do with our July 3rd fire here in Laguna Beach, that's fine. If it has to do with fire preparation in general in Laguna Beach, that's also fine. 949-715-5936. That's our phone number to text a question to, and we'll get to them toward the end of the program in about 20 minutes. 715-5936. That's the text number. So, you know, once more on that fire on July 3rd, everybody was so impressed at the response. Is this just a day in the life? Is this just routine for you guys, or did it go exceptionally well?
Well, it did go well, and we can always learn from every incident. You know, fortunately, we don't have a lot of brush fires like that. The last one we had was September 16th, 2012, behind Ruby's up on the hillside there.
I remember that, yeah.
That was about a six-acre fire. The fire on July 3rd was about 14 acres. So it was a lot steeper terrain. The difference between the two was the September fire from a couple years ago was actually threatening structures. Because of the weather conditions, because of the wind conditions, this fire on July 3rd really never posed a threat to any structures. On a different day, it would have been very damaging.
Yeah.
Because there's nowhere in there to try to get a fire break in there before it would have started hitting houses if the winds would have been blowing like a Santa Ana condition.
So it was favorable conditions.
It was a typical onshore breeze, so it was pushing the fire towards Irvine and not towards the city.
When you guys don't have to respond to a brush fire every couple months, it only happens every few years, how difficult is it to re-engage those muscles and, you know, remember how to do it all?
Well, we actually still respond a lot. We responded to the Pines fire this weekend up in Wrightwood. We've responded to the Lake fire already this fire season. Our crews have provided mutual aid, just like resources came into our city on July 3rd. We send our crews out a dozen times a year. So, and we also have to do annual refresher training. So our crews are always ready to go for that type of an incident.
Sure. As we move on to talk about how to better prepare for something like this in town and what you should do as a resident, let's discuss kind of at what point should someone call 911? I mean, there were 200 calls coming in to 911 on July 3rd, and at some point we got a notice from the city that said, please stop calling because we have enough going on right now. So how does that work when something like that happens?
Well, you know, sometimes we get situations where everybody else thought everybody else called.
Yeah.
And so at least for the first couple minutes of the incident, we want those people calling in. We want them to report the incident. We want them to report suspicious activity. You know, in 1993, our fire here was an arson fire. And if somebody, one of those callers, had important information about the person that started it, that's still very important information. But when you start to see the firefighters on scene, you don't need to call 911 and report the fire any longer. Obviously, we're there. And you want to stave 911 if there's a new emergency or an emergency related to the fire that you're on, such as you're trapped, you can't get out,
sure,
the fire's coming up to the house. By all means, then we want you to call 911 again.
We typically do only have two dispatchers at our Laguna Beach office, so overburdening them with calls once you see firefighters on the scene, unless there's something else to report, that makes perfect sense. We wouldn't want to do that.
And remember, those dispatchers are also dealing with the police officers in the field, the marine safety personnel in the field. On an fire of this size, we actually transfer the tactical command and the central ordering point to the Orange County Fire Authority. So our dispatchers don't have to engage with all the radio traffic back and forth with the firefighters. They can focus on dealing with the city, working with the police department, dealing with evacuations, setting up roadblocks and so forth, and it's a much more efficient operation.
And then finally on this subject, would you compare what happened in 1993 to what happened on July 3rd a few weeks ago?
Well, there really is no comparison, obviously.
Yeah.
This was a small fire. Resources were available to us. That's why we were able to get those five aircraft. We had two helicopters dropping. At the end of the day, we had about 180 firefighters on scene. In 1993, there were already 20 fires burning throughout California at that time. Resources were depleted, and the weather conditions were way different. It was hot, it was dry, it was windy. On this fire, the humidity was over 50%. The winds were 1 to 3 miles per hour. They were blowing onshore. So completely different situation.
Do we have more resources now than we did 20-something years ago?
The city still has the same number of firefighters that we had in 1993. The fire authority now has their helicopters. They didn't have those in 1993. And obviously surrounding us, there are a lot more fire stations since South Orange County has grown. But I think we're better trained and better equipped to deal with that situation. And on critical weather days, we staff up. And we'll put one or two more engines in service so that we can get a quick jump on the fire.
Got it. Again, that's Fire Chief Jeff Letendris in studio. We're talking about the July 3rd fire in Laguna Beach, which was national news a couple weeks ago. And we're going to talk a lot more about how to better prepare for these things in the future if you're a resident, what you should know from a fire chief's perspective. So again, you can text into this program, our monthly emergency preparedness program, at 949-715-5936. Again, that's 949-715-KXFM. We're going to take a quick song break and come back with more on KX93.5. KX93.5. I'm Tyler Russell here on a Monday evening because we're doing our emergency preparedness segment here with Chief Jeff Letendris, the fire chief in Laguna Beach, talking about that July 3rd fire and now transitioning to how we can prepare for fires in town if they are to happen again. So thank you again, Chief, for joining us on the air.
Again, thanks for having me.
And let's discuss, maybe just start in general, however you feel is best to communicate. What should residents know and how should they be prepared for an emergency like that in Laguna?
Well, we try to use three simple words that you can prepare by: ready, set, and go. And the ready part is, you know, what do you do to get ready? How can you prepare your home for a wildland fire so that if firefighters aren't there, the home will still have a chance to survive the flaming front as it comes through? Or even more importantly, when the firefighters get there, they can look at what you've done and how you prepared your house so they'll have a better chance of protecting the house when the fire front comes through. And so there's a lot of homes in the city that have been rebuilt, that have been built recently, and they have fuel modification guidelines or requirements on them. And so if your home has those requirements, you need to maintain it. So what was approved when you built it needs to be maintained even today. And we're talking about your landscaping. You know, we're in this drought situation, and I totally understand and appreciate what the water districts are doing, but it makes the resident, the property owner, they need to be more diligent now to make sure that, well, if I'm only watering twice a week, are my plants still alive? Are they dead? Are they dying? You know, do we need to remove them? Because those kind of vegetations, when embers fly, could start a fire themselves.
More likely than live wet plants.
Correct. Yeah. Even green will still burn, but it's more likely to burn now if we're not maintaining the type of hydration that we used to maintain.
So a drought and fire conditions do not go well together.
No, they don't. And again, I just caution everybody to really look at your gardens and your landscaping and make sure with the reductions in watering that you're doing that you still have a healthy garden.
And what's the fuel modification thing you mentioned?
So some homes have to do fuel modification. There's four different zones, and right around the house is what we call hardscape. And about 20 feet away from the house would be an irrigated area. And then if they have the space, there's two more zones beyond that where they do thinning of the vegetation. Zone C would have 50% thinning, and zone D would have 25% thinning. And the theory behind that is as the fire comes towards the fuel modification zone, then it would slow down and actually stop based on what's burning there. It's similar to what we do with our GOAT program and some of our hand crews in the 14 zones that the city maintains.
So the goats actually, they're intelligently placed so that they only thin certain areas?
No, where we use the goats, they just go all out.
Okay, so, I was going to say, those are pretty cool goats.
They're not that good, but we do protect sensitive habitat.
Yeah.
And so if there's sensitive habitat where the goats are, we actually close in or fence in those areas to maintain that sensitive habitat.
Okay, what else on preparation?
Well, you know, if you remodel your house, they're probably still... are some homes out there that might have a shake shingle roof. The materials that you keep in your backyard, all of that furniture, firewood that you might have in your backyard, landscaping debris that you might not have cleaned up. When there's an ember shower, those things are likely to catch fire. So you want to make sure that you clean that stuff out. If you have trees over your houses, have they been limbed? Have you pruned and maintained your trees? Have you taken the leaves out of your rain gutters and cleaned those out so that an ember doesn't get in the rain gutter full of leaves and start the roof on fire? So those are things that you can do to get ready before a wildland fire occurs.
What about a propane tank outside with your barbecue?
Yeah, and so you want to try to keep those, you know, it's better to keep it in the garage and only put it outside when you need to use your barbecue.
Right. I imagine this stuff applies especially to those that live on the edges of the wilderness. Should people that live right on the beach pay as much attention to this as those who live in the hills?
An ember will fly about a half a mile and still has the ability to start a fire.
Wow.
So, yes, any place in the city, 95% of the city is what we call a very high fire hazard severity zone. So anywhere in that city, they could be subject to the effects of a wildfire.
I don't think a lot of people know that.
Unless you're right on the coast, you're pretty much in the zone.
Okay. Wow. Good information. So that's anything else on preparation before?
Well, that's the ready part. Get set is to have a plan.
Okay.
Make sure everybody knows the plan. You know, have medications. We saw last week that terrible fire on Interstate 15. How many people in there had go bags in their trunk so that if they had to leave their vehicle, they would be able to leave the vehicle very quick with a change of shoes. Can you imagine running on the freeway if you were still in high heels?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so those are the things we take for granted, but that's part of the get set. And finally, go. Don't wait for the city. Don't wait for someone to say evacuate. Go early. Don't wait for that evacuation order because the roads are going to get clogged. Just again, as we saw on the freeway there from last week, and evacuate. And finally, when that order does come and you haven't left, please go. Don't stay behind and try to defend your house.
Yeah.
All you're going to do is create rescue situations for the firefighters that are going to have to focus on that instead of saving property.
When you say go, you mean simply drive out of town.
Evacuate, yes. Yeah. Leave.
Okay. If you want to have more information on that go bag, actually, we talked all about that in our first episode of this segment with Jordan Vilwalk, and that's podcast online at kx93.5.com. We talked extensively about what you should have ready to take with you in the event of really any emergency, be it an earthquake, a fire, whatever.
Once you're prepared for one disaster, you're prepared for any disaster.
Yeah, that's good information. And it's not hard. I mean,
And it's not expensive.
No, not at all. Okay, so if people are deciding what to take with them, what do you say, forget it, just go?
That's part of get set. Already know what you're going to grab.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to grab important paperwork, have it ready to go. Have that in a go bag. So if you need to evacuate, you're just grabbing that one item and you're ready to go. You know, things can be replaced. It's not worth staying behind and trying to get trapped.
I think people are conditioned to think, we're not in that much of a danger zone. Who really cares? Or it doesn't. They seem to deal with that fire just fine last week. Do you have a word of caution to those sorts of minds?
Yeah, listen to the interviews, and they'll tell you, "Well, I thought it would never happen to me, but here I was in that situation." Look back at the 91 or 92 Oakland Hills fire, and 25 people lost their life in that one, and most of those losses occurred during evacuation on the roads. And so some of our roads get very tight, are very windy, and, we have traffic on a good day. You know, what's it going to be like when we're trying to evacuate the whole town?
Totally. We have a very difficult town for emergency situations,
which
is part of the reason why we're doing this, because you have to have a plan. Anything else on the Ready, Set, Go before we take some questions?
All the information is available on the city's website under the fire department.
Great. Again, Fire Chief Jeff Letendris in studio right now, talking about emergency preparedness, most specifically about fires today. Here's a few questions. Someone wants to know why the trees were not trimmed and maintained that fell on Laguna Canyon Road, if that's a part of.
Well, it was a Torrey pine tree that fell. It was a fairly tall tree. It was on a slope. It's our understanding that the tree was healthy at the time. Pine trees, they do self-prune. I mean, nobody goes out in the forest and prunes them. So unfortunately, it was an unfortunate accident.
Right. Okay. Again, our text number is 715-5936 if you want to text a question. Someone else said on Friday, there were horrifying images of cars burning as they were trapped on I-15 as a brush fire swept across the highway. CHP had no way to easily access the cars. What are the city's plan if a fire was to sweep across Laguna Canyon Road while cars were actually driving on it.
Well, unfortunately, just like I think the situation that happened on I-15, a fire happening that fast is going to be difficult to get in front of. So they're going to try to stop traffic and turn traffic around. Actually, what happened on July 3rd is very similar to that. The fire happened right next to the roadway. I was so impressed with how quickly our police officers got there, shut down the road, and were able to turn traffic around on both ends of it. You know, we had great response from the sheriff and CHP, and we didn't have any issues there. But it is a difficult situation, and resources are going to be very tight. And so I would recommend don't try to drive through something. Turn around. If you need to exit the vehicle, leave the vehicle. If you can't, turn around and head away from the fire.
Yeah. You and I were talking about how July 3rd was a holiday. Everybody was off, including tourists who were coming up and down Laguna Canyon Road. So not the best day for a fire, but it was handled famously. Let's go to one last question. It says, we saw reserve firefighters step up to help with the July 3rd fire. Do you still accept reserve firefighters? And if so, how does one apply or sign up?
The city still has a reserve firefighter program. They're volunteers. We typically hire from that list about once a year. We just brought on 15 people earlier this year, so we're probably good for another year. The minimum requirements are to be an EMT, emergency medical technician, and to have completed a California Fire Academy. And you can get information through the city's personnel department.
And you choose one of those people each year to be on the force?
When there's an opening, the last couple of years, we have hired straight from our reserve program.
Great.
Correct.
Cool. Okay. Anything else you want to add on fire preparation or execution or anything?
No, it can happen here. This is some critical fire weather that we're having. It's some strange weather that we're having. So we think it's going to be a long summer. And then it looks like we're going to get right into an El Nino. Yeah. So we're prepared.
Okay, great. Fire Chief Jeff Letendres, thank you so much for your time, sir. And this will be podcast online at kx935.com. It's part of our emergency preparedness segment, of which I believe we have one left next month. And then that will be it for this six-month program. Again, kx935.com for more info. And thanks again to Chief Jeff Letendres.